Accession number 23196, Real 1.
Mr. Jim Wilkinson, Real 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Wilkinson?
Yes, City Mansion, 18 City Mansions, North Road, Islington. And born on the 17th of October, 1922.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? What your parents did and what sort of childhood you had?
Father was a French polisher. Childhood was quite all right, as far as I can gather.
How many were there in the family?
When I was born, up till I was about 9, and there was 1, 2, 3 brothers, 2, 3 daughters. That would be like the family. That would be me sisters and maybe 3 brothers.
And did your dad earn enough to, you know, have for a steady income?
Yes, up to the Depression, and then in and out of work, like everybody else was. But we never went short of anything. We always managed to get by. A bit short of money, but in that time, but we managed to keep well looked after.
Was it basically a happy childhood then for you?
Yes, it was, I suppose, in general, yes. I had the periodic moments, you know, when money got short and there's arguments about money, which always is. But he was quite happy, you know.
Yeah. Now, what about your education? What do you remember of that?
I got standard education. I went to Hungerford Road School, Goodings Road, Islington.
And were you any good at anything or in particular or any favourite subjects?
Good at everything except mathematics. I was good at everything bar arithmetic or mathematics. That's.
And what about sport? Were you keen on sport?
Not greatly on sport, no. I did like rounders we had once, but I never got onto cricket or football. I know you had to do it, but I wasn't very keen on it, you know.
How old were you when you left school?
14. And I left school at Colbert Road School, South Tottenham.
And what was your first job? That'd be 1936.
November the 2nd, 1936, as a apprentice joiner.
Can you tell us what that sort of work was in those days? What was the apprenticeship like?
In the first thing, you was 14 to about 15 and a half. You was what you called shop boy. You went round timesheets, petty cash vouchers, stores, errands, and sometimes you got sent out for errands. And in the spare time, you went on the bench with some joiner to do a little bit. Until you was about 15 and a half, then you went on the bench.
And what did you do on the bench?
Joinery, we'd make in library fittings, a lot of government work, you know, like flight desks and some jobs. There was universities where you made the stuff for fixing in the universities. And I was in that job right up till 1942, when I was called up for the army.
Now, what about outside of that? Did you have any particular hobbies or interests? I mean, were you in the Boys Brigade, Boy Scouts, anything like that?
I was in the Cubs at the time, in the Cubs. I had cycling club.
What did you do with the cycling club?
You used to go from, I think, Enfield, and used to tour all over the place on a Sunday. Sometimes in the weekday, you might do an average of about 60, 70 miles on a Sunday, cycling and going to around different places, like, for example, Henley-on-Thames or Burnham Beaches, places like that, you know. You couldn't go to the coast because at that time the war was only in the bar, you was barred from the coast. So,
what about the outbreak of war? What do you remember of the day war broke out?
I remember the siren going.
Did you hear the broadcast before?
Yes, I heard the broadcast. And I remember about it, one of my brothers, he hadn't been to see us for a long time, and he came on that morning, and He said, we haven't seen you for a long time. He said, no. He said, my wife's been evacuated to Weedon in Northampton. So he stayed with us till about Christmas of 1939, and when they all came back.
Did you think the war would involve you greatly?
Yes, well, I did, yes. I would see it wouldn't be a short war. And, of course, I joined the Home Guard. Yeah.
Hang on a bit. Before we get to that, what about air raid precautions? Can I ask you about, you know, the kind of... Did you have a shelter in your house?
Yes, we had an Anson shelter, and later we had a Morrison shelter, which was the one that was in the house with a steel top.
Tell me about the Anson first. How did you fit it? Was it fitted for you, or did you fit it?
It was fitted for you. It was a square trench, you might say, about 2 foot deep, with a corrugated iron... curved structure and corrugated front and back with opening for the front and covered with earth. That's what I remember. We did sleep down there in the initial stages, but after that we decided to stay in. If we're going to die, we're die in bed. That's what my dad used to say.
What was it like in the Anderson?
Very uncomfortable. When it first started, that was Saturday, September the 5th, I believe it was, when they bombed the East End and set the East End alight.
That's 1940.
Yes, it wasn't too bad for about a month or two because the weather was quite good at that time. Very, very good weather. But when the winter came, it got far too cold. And we just slept in the house after that. We didn't bother.
Were you nervous?
Not particularly nervous, no.
What about the Morrison shelter? Tell me a bit more about that.
Well, I can't tell you much about that because that came when I was called up for the army. But I did come home on leave and it was in the kitchen, used as a table, you know, with a tablecloth on. And it was wire mesh, or steel mesh round the side. Not meant really, it was to save you in case the house collapsed on it. And you were saved from the... I doubt if it would have been any good against blast or anything like that, but...
Now, what about the blackout? What arrangements did your family make to black out the windows?
Well, we had dark blinds. We blacked some of the windows. And as far as the... I was a cyclist at that time. I just used to black your lamp.
What do you mean by that?
You blacked the bottom half of the lamp, and you left it half at the top so that the light could come through. But over the bulbs, you had a collar, black collar, and all you got was a little pin light through the lamp. And, of course, you had to have a rear light after that. And that was how I used to go about in the blackout.
Was it difficult cycling at night?
No, not particularly, no. It was quite safe. I'd say a lot safer than it is now. You could walk about in the blackout and nobody would notice thing as mugging or... You know, it was actually we carried on a normal life after that. They closed the cinemas for 4 weeks after the outbreak of war, and then they opened, and everything went back to normal, you might say.
Did that affect your work at all, the type of work you
were
doing?
Yes, it did. It did. The initial stages, 1939, we had a busy year. We was making government work. We was making blackout and gas-proof shutters for all the offices in London, and. When the war broke out, trade went very, very slack. We went on short time, right up till Dunkirk. Most blokes without a work. In fact, I went to a hand, I got put off for a fortnight, they said, because they're waiting for stuff to come in. And I went to Hanley Page in Cricklewood to see if they wanted anybody. They said we're on 4 days a week. And that was up till Dunkirk.
So... And then what happened after Dunkirk? I mean, why was there so much more after that?
As I say, the government woke up. Overnight, everyone went on 7 days a week. Our firm, of course, wasn't munitions, but we got orders come in then for a lot of government work. Signal lamp boxes, ammunition boxes, bunks for the shelters. I went out fixing those in the shelters, the bunks, myself, under the Telephones Exchange or the War Graves Commission, all them places. And we were very busy then.
Was there a shortage of wood at all?
Not for our trade. There was a shortage of wood for commercial use or civilian use, but all firms that was on government work got ample supplies of timber. There was never any shortage of timber. But you couldn't buy it yourself. You had a timber control, I believe. You came in on the 1st of September of 1939. I did work for a small joiner around. When I had that fortnight off, I worked for a small joiner around New Southgate. He was very slack. He could only get about £5 worth of timber a month, which hardly kept him going, because he wasn't on government work. He was making gates for, or windows for, you know, people, or staircases and whatnot. He just got his bare allowance of £5 a month, which was a bit more money than it is today, but the timber he got for it wasn't much, you know.
And what about the air raids? What do you remember? They started in September 1940, yes. As you said. What effect did they have on your life? I mean...
Not a great deal. No, I don't think so. In fact, one got accustomed to it. If anything did get near, you might be a little frightened, but it didn't particularly bother me much.
Were you ever in a heavy raid or particularly close to any?
Well, there was an air battle over Broomfield Park, and we did dive down against the wall in New Southgate, I think it's Lyons Avenue, me and the governor. We thought we'd had it. But he shook my hand like to say, well, that's where you're going, but it didn't. It we got away with it. A bomb dropped, a landmine, just before I went in the army, May 1941. I was sitting indoors on my own. I had it out at the cinema somewhere or that. I was on my own, and there was a violent crash in the street. The doors of the room swung open, the French doors, and the whole roof came through, the glass roof. And they dropped a landmine in Arnest Grove. You know where Arnest Grove is? There's a square there. And right there where I used to work, and all the houses went down, and that was May 41. That shook me a bit, but apart from that, it didn't initially upset me at all.
Did you join the Home Guard?
Yes, I joined the Home Guard. I left the cycling club and joined the Home Guard, I think, May the 18th, 1941. And I was in the Home Guard right up till...
And how did you go about joining, and which one did you join?
I joined, it was C Company, which was stationed at where the police station used to be in the High Road, New Southgate. I don't think it's the police station's there now, but it used to be where you've got the roundabouts at the top of Arnest Grove. The High Road used to go down like that. And the police station was on the right-hand side, going towards Wood Green. And our headquarters was there.
And the C Company, which battalion?
It was Middlesex Battalion. I don't know what the number of battalion was, but it was Middlesex Regiment. I think A Company was Wood Green somewhere, and then you had the signal section in Alexandra Palace itself.
And you were at this place at New Southgate?
Yes, yes.
And... What type of training did you get with them?
We got basic field craft.
Tell me about that. What
digging trenches, infantry trenches. We had lectures in the school hall on a Friday night, which if you didn't smoke, you wouldn't go in there at all, because everyone used to smoke a pipe and a cigarette, and the hall was full of smoke. And we had this lecture on different things like... I'm a non-smoker, one said, this one sergeant, and I can smell anybody, any smell. I can smell tobacco, I can smell this, you know, so you get the smell of the enemy or whatever. And then I had rifle shooting. I've never fired a rifle in my life, and they took me down to Purfleet, I think September 13th, 1941. They gave me 5 rounds, and I got 3 bullseyes out of 5.
And they actually showed me what to do.
And they never taught me to use a rifle there, because we had no rifles. All we had was stakes. But we were issued with a rifle at Purfleet and 5 rounds, and just well fire. And fortunately, I held it firm in my shoulder, otherwise, I'd have had a nice bruise in the face. But I got 3 balls out of the 5 shots. Then I joined what they call the mobile platoon.
Hang on a bit, what about, I should have asked earlier, what uniform and equipment did you have?
Oh, you got the army uniform, the army forage cap, the Middlesex badge, the flash with the Home Guard on the thing, and if you were a signaller, you got a flag, but I wasn't a signaller at that time. You was issued with a sand brown belt, which was a leather belt, and we used to stain it dark tan and polish it up. More like an officer's belt. We were never had great coats. We were issued with khaki capes. and every fourth Sunday we went by train up to Cuffley. We dug up prepared positions, and then when it was all over, they go straight into the pub. I think it was a plough at Cuffley.
Well, what sort of prepared positions were you digging at Cuffley?
They are actually infantry positions. You dig a series of trenches, some there, some here, some there, to cover you when you feel the fire. And when it was all over, you went into the pub, you had a drink, and we all came back in an army truck and brought us back to New Southgate. We had social life, we had Saturday nights, we had dance or sometimes heavy music, like sonata, you know, violins and all that. I didn't like that much, it was too heavy.
Well, what were the dances like? Tell me about the dances and the dance bands.
Well, it was a four or five piece band, violin, trombone, trumpet, I don't think it was a drummer, piano, and then Saturday nights they had a classical music. You used to have about two violins and a cello, and they played Beethoven sonatas and all that stuff, you know.
And what would a typical dance be like? What sort of stuff would they play there?
Oh, balls, foxtrot. I don't think Samba or Congo was alive then. Mostly quickstep, foxtrot, waltz.
And you enjoyed the dancing?
Oh yes, we used to enjoy it.
Did you drink at the time at all?
Very little. I might have a brown ale, you know. I didn't drink much at all. And I didn't smoke very much. I did smoke, but I didn't smoke all that much.
Now, what about, you were on this mobile patrol. What were your duties on the mobile patrol?
The mobile patrol was what they call the, what you say, commando. You were trained to, like the SAS, you had to melt into the countryside and you had to attack a position. And through this, we had no army boots as such. We only had our own shoes. And he said you have to go in bare feet with socks on. And we had to attack this flour mill. I think it was right up on Botany Bay. And we laid on that round all night. And through that, I got pneumonia. I got a bad cold, and the doctor said, oh, you mustn't stay away from work, it's a war effort. And of course it got worse, and I got pneumonia through it. Of course that laid me up till January 42, and that's when I rejoined the Home Guard, not in the mobile platoon. They put me back into the normal company with less strenuous, you know. And I was in that till...
What about the normal duties? I mean, what sort of patrols and guard duties would you do on normal, you know?
We had a guard in Garfield Road, that's New Circuit, by the school. We guarded the school all night.
Why? Did you see what I mean?
Well, I can never fathom out why, because there was never anything of any value. There might be a little bit of cash money in the office in the school, where the major kept his money, but basically, I don't think there's any really there to guard. It was just a... And of course, we used to go for a break into the police canteen and have a cup of tea or something like that.
Where else would they guard or patrol?
Some guarded railways. Some up at Alexandra Palace, there was a guard up there.
On the palace itself?
In the palace itself, yeah. And of course, the other companies had their own place of headquarters, you know. We only really got together as a battalion in February 42. We had a march pass, and some general came. I think he must have come out of the Boer War. I think he it was a freezing cold morning, terribly cold, and he came there with his cowboy hat on, shorts, and his face was red as a beetroot, and he was standing there as much to say, well, I don't think it's cold. And we had a march pass with a Middlesex band, and we marched right down Durnsford Road, that comes down to Bounds Green, and we had the march pass, and he's standing there on his steps, and it was bitterly cold morning.
What did you think of the inspiring? I mean, was it an inspiring day, or did you think it was daft? Or what did
well,
you
some
think
of it, some of it seemed to be daft, because, I mean, what was there to fight with? I mean, we never had a rifle, only when I fired the fire rounds, but the only person to add a rifle was any ex-serviceman from the First World War.
So what weapons did you have? Tell me a bit about the weaponry.
Well, the weapons all we had was broomsticks. And the ex-serviceman had a rifle. But nobody had any rounds of ammunition. We were never taught grenade throwing, we were never taught any characteristics of weapons or anything like that, because we never had no rifles. So we had route marches, of course, which was the famous route march was from High Road up to the Cherry Tree at Southgate, in the pub, and all marched back again.
Well, did you have any of these makeshift weapons?
Yes.
Tell us about them.
Well, you had several sort of weapons. You had the Bangalore torpedo.
What were they?
Which was like a piece of scaffold pole, and you rammed it in, rammed explosive inside, nails, anything you like, and you set the detonator to it, and the whole thing exploded. And they called it the Bangalore torpedo. There were other weapons, but I can't tell you about those till a later stage, because when I was called into the army.
So that's the only one you remember at the time. Anything else you remember about? One thing. The other men. What proportion of young lads and old veterans were there?
Initially, 1940, there was quite a lot of young men about. But by June 1941, they were getting less and less. I noticed that at work, they were all getting called up.
And how did you get on with the old First World War veterans and the older men?
Quite all right. Yeah, they sort of looked after us.
Did you respect their
opinion? Yes, I did. You know, they should tell you all about the First World War, and you get the NCOs used to instruct you what it was like and what to expect. He didn't see much of the major. He mostly sat in his office. When he had a concert, he'd probably be in the front with his captain. And funny part of that, the major was the manager of Barclays Bank. He used to be on the corner of where the station road, which is now, they call it the, I forget the name of the pub now, I always good at remembering backwards, but it's opposite the Turrets pub, or the Grove.
I know it, yeah.
Well, that corner pub there in the corner was made into a banker's draft. That is, he was the manager of Barclays Bank, and I didn't realise it at the time until I came on with my first leave, and I had some Scottish pound notes, and I went into the bank and he looked at me and he said, there'd be no charge, and I recognised him as in civilian clothes. He was the manager of Barclays Bank.
Now, so anything else about your time with them before we move on to when you were called up? Any incidents happened, funny or otherwise?
Well, it was good comradeship. I used to play the piano, and the mates used to play the drums, and we used to play down the Northern Star, which is down, I think the Northern Star's still there, down the High Road, near Southgate. We used to play in there for the dance, you know, on a Thursday night.
So you formed your own little dance band?
Yeah, the little band, yeah. We got paid once, I think, because the original musicians was on holiday or something, or they had time off, and we got paid 16 shillings between us for playing.
And what sort of stuff would you play?
Modern music, you know, like...
Of the time?
Of the time, yeah. None of this bashing stuff they got now. You know, we used to quite enjoy it, you know, and then after if we had a parade or something, we used to go into the Turrets or the Grove, they call it, and we used to have a shandy then, I think it was half a pint of shandy, and sometimes we used our uniforms to go to the pictures, and if you got in there, they couldn't tell whether he was in the army or the Home Guard, but we used to get in for nothing if you used your oath, you know.
So you got in free because you were in uniform?
Yeah. And they didn't, you know, look to see in the dark. They couldn't see the Home Guard flash because, I mean, you looked like a soldier anyway, except that you had the Sam Brown belt instead of the webbing.
What about when you were called up? Did you volunteer or were you called up?
I tried to volunteer in 1941 for the Air Force.
Well, now, what happened about that? Because why did you try to...
Well, my dad said, if you don't go in the Air Force, he said, you'll probably land up in the infantry if you're fit. He said this because my elder brother done the same. He volunteered in 1940 and he got into the barrage balloons. But unfortunately, he was killed in a 10-minute air raid at Flamsteed Common in 1943. They turned me down because they said we want a reference from your employer. And he put down he'd been rejoining for 3 years and we're not prepared to release him. Oh, he didn't say that. He said he'd been employed for 3 years as a joiner. And quite satisfactory. I took it back. They said, well, they haven't said they're prepared to release you. So I took it back to the factory and they wrote in, typed it in green, we are not prepared to release him, he's on government work. And they said, I'm sorry, you can't come in. So that was that.
So what happened when you were called up? What happened about your call up? How was it organised?
Well, I had I registered at Finchley Labour Exchange in October 41. I had the medical in January. Had the medical in January 1942. Meanwhile, I went up to the Air Force and said that I'd be prepared to go in the flying corps, the flying crew. And they got me as far as the medical. They came rushing out of the office and said, no, you're on work of national importance. So back I went to the firm. On the 26th of February, I was in bed with bronchitis because I just had pneumonia. And the papers came through the door to report to Parkhurst Barracks, Newport, Isle of Wight.
So how did you feel about that? Because you've been trying to volunteer.
Yes.
And you've not been allowed to.
Yes.
And now you're being conscripted.
Yes, right.
How did you feel?
So I felt a little wrecked down. I went back to the firm and told them that, because I was ill for a week, and the doctor sent a letter off to the War Office to say that I wasn't fit to travel. And I went down the firm and I said, you can't hold me now. They said, oh no, we can't hold you now because you're military age. So I got in the infantry.
What happened with the court when you went for your court? How long was it delayed for?
It was delayed to the 20th of March.
So nearly a month?
Yes, I got no relief whatsoever. I got no low dole money. I got no work money from work. They said I was now a soldier at work, and the army said that I wasn't a soldier until I reported for duty. So I went to the, at the time, the Unemployment Assistance Bureau. And they gave me 5 shillings for the 3 weeks that I was, you might say, out of work, unemployed.
But that was a fairly bad start then.
Yes, yes. And I joined on the Friday, 20th of March,